Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beale Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome Families Forward Chief Executive Officer Madeline Hernice. Thank you, Madeline, for being on Impact OC.
Thank you, Don, for having me.
Madeline, Families Forward's mission is to prevent and end family homelessness by providing access to housing and resources that create lasting stability. Families Forward helps Orange County families experiencing or at risk of experiencing homelessness in need achieve and maintain self-sufficiency through housing, food, counseling, education, and other supportive services. Please elaborate.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Families Forward, we started in 1984, and we're here to serve families at risk of experiencing homelessness, like you mentioned. Homelessness often is a stigma, a word that's stigmatized, and really the families that we're serving are what we call the invisible population. So these are your everyday families, your neighbors that may be living paycheck to paycheck. One domino falls, the next domino falls. Maybe it's medical, loss of childcare, loss of employment, and these families find themselves falling over the edge. So our goal is to surround them and wrap them with services. It starts with housing. We are a housing-first model. Housing is the foundation. And then we really build off of what we can do to help that family stabilize. Is it long-term financial support? Is it counseling services? Is it food services? What can we do to really wrap around this family to ensure that they have lasting stability and that they can reintegrate back into their community?
Well, talk about the families. Who are they?
Yeah, the families we serve, the only requirement that we have at Families Forward is that we must have a minor age child in the household. For us, the work that we do is about the impact on children. And with families particularly, we know how vulnerable the children are in this situation. And so the children that are experiencing the trauma of domestic violence or witnessing domestic violence, or families that have spent a night in their car, or the trauma and the impact there, what it contributes to is what's called adverse childhood experiences. And we know that a child that experiences more of those ACEs, as we call it in our world, is more likely to follow them on their trajectory, and unfortunately not in a positive way. So really the work that we're doing is about making sure we can create stability and impact for children and their parents to ensure that we can break the cycle and the trauma of homelessness.
So where do you get your clients from?
So since we've been around for a long time, we've got a long history and reputation working with a lot of the school districts. We're also a part of a larger collaborative impact called the Family Coordinated Entry System, where us, along with 24 other family-serving providers, work together to try to deduplicate services. How do we work together to ensure the family isn't having to work harder than the provider, and that we are really being good stewards of our resources and ensuring that we are working together and collaborating versus working separately in silos? So a lot of other efforts in regards to 211, faith-based communities, lots of ways that families can hear about the services of Families Forward. We also have a large-scale food pantry in Irvine, and we serve about 200 families a week through that program. And as you can imagine, during COVID, that program was impacted, and we were up to 750 families a week at our peak, which was huge. And that's really a front door for families to learn about services and to let their guard down and know that they're coming to Families Forward and a place that's treating them with dignity and respect. And then maybe there's another question. Maybe I have, you know, a question about job searching. Maybe I have a question about budgeting. And we can start to open up that door and build that trust so that families feel comfortable to come to us at their most vulnerable time.
What are the demographics?
Yeah, so the majority of the families that we serve, as you can imagine, are single head of household. So about 69% are single female head of household, with a small portion being single male head of household, and a smaller portion being what we call intact families, or dual parent household, or dual income household. So really, the majority of the families that we are seeing are single head of households, mostly female, and the family size is between 3 to 4. So a mother and 3 children is primarily what we're seeing. We see demographics of all sorts, and we serve families that are coming from all 34 of our Orange County cities. It is not one city's particular problem. It happens in Irvine. It happens in Santa Ana. It happens in Newport Beach. So we're really seeing a wide variety of families that need support.
Now, when you see a family, explain the intake.
Sure. The intake process is what we like to call is our coordinated entry system, as I mentioned earlier. And again, the goal being that we don't want a family to have to share their story multiple times to multiple people. So it's called a front door process. So a family might reach out to Families Forward, and they're going to be connected to a warm voice. They're going to go over the intake process, and we're going to ask some questions about what they've experienced, get some data collection, making sure that they're not already connected to another program, and then really focusing on what we call a housing intake plan. So this is a plan that identifies what's the solution. It is for us at Families Forward, we practice trauma-informed care. We're focusing on motivational interviewing. How can we help draw out success as defined by the family, not just defined by the prescriber here? And how can we help to make sure that we can get them the tools to get to that success? So a lot of times that means let's go into the history. What happened? What went wrong? What was that first domino that fell? And where can we work with you to provide the tools and education so that if this were to happen in the future or something similar, you have the resources to be able to handle that directly versus potentially this happening again. So it's really that hand up versus a hand out, and really making sure they've got the tools to be able to continue to support their families for the long term.
Now, when they see you, are they coming from the street? Are they coming from couch surfing?
All over. So I will say the majority of the families that we serve, it's the invisible population. So we're not seeing a lot of families, and your viewers might not see a lot of families that are seeing families that are sleeping on bus stations or panhandling. These truly are the invisible population. So we see a lot of families that are, you know, staying in their car in a safe residential street where they may have a friend who says, no one's going to come bother you here, or camping at a regional park, telling their kids it's a vacation, squatting in a storage unit, really trying to create some sense of normalcy and stability for their children. Now, we do have families that are coming directly from the streets as well, or coming from shelters where they've been able to secure temporary support. And then we also have families that are in motels and staying in motels where you can't get out of that motel. It's a vicious cycle, in addition to couch surfing and doubled up and tripled up families as well.
So do they come into your office or you go to them?
All of the above. For us, it's about increased accessibility. So if a family, it's closer for them to come to the office, we are a welcome, warm front door. If we need to meet them on their lunch break, we want to do everything we can to make it convenient and so that they don't lose their employment, we can meet them on their lunch break. It's really about accessibility for the family, and that's part of that case management plan.
Where are your offices?
So we actually have two offices. Our main program center is right here in Irvine, and that's located off of Bacon, Maryland. And then we have a secondary office for client services in Santa Ana.
And you offer all kinds of workshops.
We do. Now, pre-COVID, that certainly was a much higher number, but one of the main workshops that we offer is called Tenant Education. And so really, it's about dispelling the myths of what is affordable housing, because that in itself is a stigma. Where is it? How do I get access to it? What are the myths around the wait list? And how can I make sure that I put my family in a situation where they can access that affordable housing when our family needs it? But moreover, it's about being responsible as a tenant, ways to overcome barriers such as eviction, low income, or poor credit score, and then ways for us to maintain our housing. And so that's a really critical workshop that we provide not only to the families we serve, but to the community at large.
Affordable housing.
Affordable housing, tenant education, all of the above, which affordable housing there is not enough of.
How are you acquiring it?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's no stranger to any of your listeners that we are in an affordable housing, in a housing crisis. So making sure that, you know, we can get creative. Everything that we do is a drop in the bucket. So whether we're working with a small scale, you know, multifamily project to do an acquisition rehab, or we're working with a larger multifamily developer to say, hey, could you make some of those units available for families that are truly in need? We're trying to get as creative as possible. So really, it's a drop in the bucket, and we truly do need more affordable housing and housing in general to be able to support the needs of our community.
Now it's time for you to tell us a story about a family. Pick a family, explain the intake process, and lead us through to some success, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many families to choose from. But I'll choose a family that we worked with, actually, that was came through the program. I started at the organization. I've actually been with Families Forward for 10 years, and I started in direct service work. So I got to work hand in hand with families that are experiencing homelessness and really see the evolution of their journey and their story. So I'll share a fun story about a woman and her two children, her two boys that were in our program. This individual had experienced domestic violence, so she fled her husband. And Families Forward were not an active emergency shelter for domestic violence. We partner with with strong partners out in the community like Human Options to ensure that a family that's fleeing domestic violence has a safe place to go. They have time to create a safety plan, get all their legal, the restraining orders in order, and making sure that they've got that stability until they're ready to launch off into housing. So for this family, we partnered with Human Options to get that family into emergency shelter, get them in a safe situation away from the husband and the abuse that they were experiencing. But once that family was ready to graduate, it was really kind of an exciting opportunity to figure out, you know, for her, this the woman that we worked with, what it meant to be, you know, the income earner, what it meant to have a savings account, to have a bank account, because all of that had been stripped away from her. And so working with this individual to identify, okay, what have you done in the past? Where can we find employment opportunities? And she was really interested in nursing. Now, our program wouldn't be able to stay with her long enough to get her nursing license, but to get her LVN and to get her back on her feet into affordable housing in a situation where she could sustain that. So we actually helped her by getting her LVN and also getting her phlebotomy license, so getting her a specialty in some of the work that she does. And so it was a really great opportunity for us to support this family, surround them with the services, including counseling support, our food services, the career coaching, which is a critical component, and most importantly, the affordable housing, so she had the space to actually move forward and to use this opportunity as a lily pad. Now, that individual, that was probably about 6 years ago or so she just came back into the picture recently, and she is going to nursing school, and we're really excited to just hear the success of her kids. They, you know, with everything that they've gone through, they had been enrolled in an IEP program, and they're graduating out of the IEP program. And there's just a lot of good that's been happening for that family, and I'm just so thankful to be able to share their story.
How does the children handle being in their situation?
You know, I think that I think about the dignity and the experience that the family receives when coming to Families Forward Front Door, and as much as the parents want to hide what's happening, the children know. They immediately know. And so for families with, you know, young children to adolescents, one of the key components that Families Forward offers is counseling support. And we do have a counselor that specializes in working with children to provide that stress management, anxiety support, de-escalation, crisis management, because the children need to learn how to cope. And a lot of times they're not able to show their parents that they know what's going on. So it's really challenging. The children in our program, you know, we want to make sure they've got all the supports that they need. We want to identify any potential developmental delays. We want to partner with our, you know, community partners that can help support us in this work. We know as an agency that we can't be all things to all people, but we have a unique door and an opportunity to engage with a family in a very different way. And so the more resources we can connect to, the more we can rally and support this family long off after they're done with their Families Forward services.
And are the children allowed to put this behind them so that they can lead productive lives themselves?
You know, I would hope so, but I think it's, you know, experiencing homelessness is such a traumatic challenge that a child experiences if they've gone through that. And so I can't imagine that they're able to fully put it behind themselves, but also to be able to grow and build off of that platform. There was another young woman with a young son in our program, and I remember I hadn't worked with this individual, but when she came back to talk about her services and her how she was doing, I remember hearing about the little boy, and he was in ballet school, and I thought that was so cool. And I just, you know, think about going to ballet school and becoming a professional ballerina and taking maybe the pain of his experience and putting that out in his performing arts, and how he was able to share and give back in his own way, you know, not in a stereotypical way, but I'm sharing through my art and my dance and my movement based off of the experience that I've had. So I think our children are resilient and they're strong, and again, everything that we're doing is about ensuring that we can truly change that cycle for them so that they are on the best course for success for their future.
How are you funded?
So we are funded through various grants and funding opportunities. We like to make sure that we're diversified funding. We don't overly rely on one significant source, but we do receive funding from government grants, private philanthropy, and other major gifts and contributions to be able to make sure that our mission can move forward, and more importantly, be able to meet the needs of the families where they are. We overly rely on any one source. It can be overly restrictive, and our goal is to make sure we can meet families where they are to get them what they need to get back on their feet.
Volunteer opportunities.
Yeah, volunteering is the backbone of the organization. Pre-COVID, we had about 21,000 volunteer hours. So at our main program center, there's a couple of really creative ways where you can get involved on a more permanent basis. So like a job shift, if you will. And so we actually have our front desk and our food pantry is 100% managed by volunteers. And so they are the backbone to the work that we do. And it's really important, especially that front desk, not to take away from the food pantry, but for a family that's calling, to have that warm front voice to say, hi, I'm here. I'm actually someone who's going to listen to you. You're not getting a voicemail. That is so critical. And that's truly about the dignified experience. So that's a fantastic way to get involved. We understand that that takes a time commitment. So there's other creative ways to get involved with our seasonal programs, back to school, adopt a family, hosting a food drive in your neighborhood. Give us a call and we can come up with anything based off of the amount of time that you have to give.
Well, then give us the phone number.
So our phone number is 949-552-2727.
Give us that number again.
949-552-2727.
What about the website?
That is www.families-forward.org. That is families, plural, families-forward.org.
Now, do your clients intermingle with other clients?
You know, we don't operate any sort of client support group program or anything like that. Really, the work that we do is about getting families back in their community. So if they come from Mission Viejo, we want to keep them in Mission Viejo and really rallying around them in their community support. So what is that tie? Is it a PTA group? Is it a local church? And for them to create their own network internally. So we don't actually host any sort of client workshops where they get together.
And there's no way to know that they're getting your services because they're able to just get your services and move on with their lives.
Absolutely. You wouldn't know that a Families Forward resident is your neighbor, or not even a resident. A family that is receiving services is your neighbor. And that's the point. I mean, really, it's the work that we do is serving your neighbors. It's serving the bank tellers. It's serving the Target employee. It's serving any and all in the workforce. And that's truly where I think there's a bit of that divide and stigma on family homelessness versus maybe individual homelessness, and truly understanding that the work that we do is serving probably someone in the school that's, you know, schoolmate with your child.
How many years are they with you, if that's the case?
So the families that we serve in our housing program, it really depends on the level of need and support. So if we're looking to support a family by keeping them housed, which of course we want to do those upstream services, so how do we avoid that eviction or prevent that eviction? We may stay with them for 3 to 6 months with financial assistance and case management support to get back on track and identify, you know, what was that domino that first fell. But within our housing program, if they are coming from experiencing literal homelessness and getting into permanent housing, we do see our families anywhere from 6 to 12 months, sometimes up to 24 months, depending on the level of program and the level of support that family might need.
And what change do you see in the individual who gets help from you?
So the change that we see, I mean, there's many things, again, and I keep, you know, kind of harping on dignity, but as one of our main values, you really see a difference. You see a difference in their composure. You see a difference in their smile. We had a woman once who came to us, and she actually was missing her front two teeth, and especially families that are experiencing trauma, medical and health and dental, that becomes a backseat. It becomes about crisis management. What can I do right now to keep the roof over my head, to keep my kids, you know, fed and their bellies full? And that, you know, the teeth problem, it's a last minute problem. But then you go into how do you find a job? How do you have the confidence to smile at your job interview? And so we actually worked with a local dentist here in Irvine to get her two teeth replaced. And she walked into the office and she goes, I knew I was an 8.5, but now I'm a 10.5. And she was so excited. And just that dignity to say, I'm going to go into the job interview and I'm going to rock it because I've got something it's not simple, but something like your teeth that you just didn't have the ability to focus on without the support of a provider like Families Forward.
And anybody can suddenly need your services with the economy the way it is today.
Oh, absolutely. Like I mentioned, during COVID, and we saw that pivotal increase in services, a lot of the families that were coming through the drive-through line, because we transitioned very quickly to contactless and drive-through, were families that were donors. Businesses that had shut down. You know, you think about all of the different industries that were impacted by the pandemic, and, you know, it's very easy to be giving food one day and then asking for food the next.
Thank you, Families Forward Chief Executive Officer Madeline Hernice, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.